Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
If you got a Bible on you, go ahead and open it up to the Gospel of John. I want to go to the Gospel of John. I want to go to chapter 15. And I want to take you on a walk with Jesus. And a lot of the things we see Jesus say, John chapter 15 is where he talks about the vine and the branches. A lot of times we see things Jesus says in the Bible, and we almost think that they happened in a vacuum, like there wasn't a context and there wasn't a land and there wasn't a time. But Christ said these things and did these in a place, in a time, and in a space. There were places he actually was. And what he said here, he said in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem has had a little, coverage the last few days because the U.S. Embassy now is in Jerusalem where it should be and recognize Israel's capital. And that's prophetic, and that's something I believe that will bring a blessing on us as a nation. So the Bible says if a nation will bless Israel, then God will bless that nation. And so I'm going to be blessed regardless of whether my nation's blessed or cursed. But I'd rather be a blessed guy living in a blessed nation than a blessed guy living in a cursed nation, wouldn't you? I'd rather be a blessed man in a blessed nation. And people are saying, why is that a big deal? Because God gave Jerusalem to the Jewish people thousands of years ago, and in a covenant promise that land would be theirs. And then the first claim, David goes down and he sets Jerusalem up as the capital city there of Israel. It's their claim. And so it's their city. And it's been that way and since the beginning of time. Now there's been a couple of times Jerusalem was destroyed and brought down, but still there's always been a remnant of Jewish people that stayed around Jerusalem. Sometimes the numbers got down to low in the region in history to 10,000 Jews living there and other people all over the earth. But it had been prophesied that God would bring Israel back as a nation. And there would be a strength there. And then there was a movement in the late 1800s to go back and to resettle Jerusalem with strength by Jews all over the world. So that they were going to go back. They started going back. And when they went there, it was like going to nowhere. It's like moving. These people have been living in Europe. They've been living around the world, some in America, in places that were more developed and more modern. And they go out and practically live in the wilderness then. It was rough. It was tough. And they had to be the toughest kind of people in the world to make it and go do it. And it's interesting that nobody was making a claim on Jerusalem back then when it was all messed up and in ruins. But whenever people want to come, I'm going to notice whenever you work on something and get something flowing and get it good and get it running right, that's when people want to come take what's yours, right? They don't want to work for it. They just want to come take it. And the Palestinian nation, when did the term Palestinian? It came from after Rome conquered Israel once upon a time, and they took people from the Jews from that area, and what Rome would do when they conquered a people is they take their people and they move them to different places. So they wanted them to lose their culture. They lost their culture, they lost their identity, they'd lose their hold on the land. So they would move people out, and then they changed the name. They changed it to Palestine after the word Philistine. Philistine, a seafaring people that had always been an enemy of Israel. Rome named it after the Philistines to smack the Jews in the face. But nobody kept that area. Nobody wanted it as a capital. As a matter of fact, they were under Jordanian rule. Nobody went after Jerusalem as a capital. They were under Syrian rule for a while. Nobody went after Jerusalem as a capital. It's only when God started fulfilling his promise and Israel came back with strength as a nation. Hitler came and exterminated 1 million Jews, one of the largest genocides in human history. And after that, Jews started flocking back in that time to Israel. And then the nation of Israel was founded 70 years ago. Supernatural miracle prophecy comes to pass. How many know God is a God that oversees and fulfills his word? You can take it to the bank. Come on, somebody. It can be 1,000 years, but God's going to fulfill his word. Let's really give him a hand clap. We got a God that's going to fulfill his word. He's going to fulfill his word. And so we should pray. I'm pro-peace. I'm pro-Israel. I'm also pro-Palestinian. I'm for everybody. I'm for everybody to get born again and receive Jesus. But who do I'm with Israel, okay? Here's something to remember when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the Jewish people. Pray for a Jesus revival there. Israel is not saved without Jesus. Some guys will talk about Israel almost like Israel does not need Christ. Israel needs Messiah just like you and I need Messiah. Somebody say amen. They just do. Without Messiah, everybody goes to hell, Jew and Gentile alike. But across the border, here's another side that a lot of people don't hear in the Western church. There are many Arab-Palestinian Christians. They live in a Hamas-dominated, Muslim-dominated area. And they are not Jews, and they are not Muslims. They are our brothers and our sisters. And they're some of the most persecuted people in the whole region. So when you look at the news and see those kind of things and consider the conflicts that happen over there, whenever you see that, I want you to pray for the peace of Israel. Pray for Jerusalem that it may prosper. Come on, we're going to be a friend of Israel. But also we ought to pray for our brothers and sisters that are blessed people living in cursed countries right now. How many believe they need our prayers as well? And it's a very complex situation that there's not an easy answer to today looking at it. I think the only person that's going to be able to straighten this out is we need the Prince of Peace on the scene. So we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. Man, I'm almost out of time. I hadn't even started preaching yet. All that's free, all right? We'll give you all of that. All right, I'm gonna go with this. The scripture says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm going to scrap my message. I'm going to encourage you to do that for the next 10 minutes. Everybody say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem is the city of peace. What it means is that Jerusalem means the city of peace. And it's an ancient city, and it was a city that had a priest who actually blessed Abraham himself. There was a priest that oversaw the city of Salem. His name was Melchizedek, and Abraham came through the area once upon a time, and he fought this war, and then Melchizedek blessed him after the war, and the Bible says that Melchizedek, he was actually a type of Christ or a forerunner of Christ. Many people believe he was a pre-incarnate or a Christ that hadn't been born in the flesh that appeared on the earth in that time, and he's a priest of the city of peace, and he brings out bread and wine. Does that sound like anybody in the New Testament? Y'all know anybody that brought out bread and brought out wine? It's Jesus. And so we have a symbol here of a covenant God, a covenant man, a priest. Jesus is our high priest. Somebody say amen to that. The Bible says he's a priest that's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Sometimes whenever you see religious leaders, you see them and it's like, man, they don't know what I'm going through. They haven't been where I've been. They haven't experienced what I've experienced. You know, it's like listening to somebody teach on marriage that's never been married. I mean, that's tough, right? It's like, yeah, you know. I remember, how many of y'all thought you knew something about kids before you had children? And then you had children, you're like, I don't know anything about kids now. Huh? Amen? So it's the way it is. It's that living experience, that going through things makes people believable in life. And it takes some time to be believable in life. It just does. And it's part of making your bones, part of living through certain things in life that gives you an authority. It's like a singer. You ever hear anybody sing like a sad, broken-hearted song, but they're like 16 years old? And it's not believable yet, is it? You just don't buy it yet, right? They haven't lived enough years to sing that broken heart song just yet. They may think they have, but most of them hadn't unless they've been in a terrible situation. Why? It's not like they haven't been touched with the feelings of your infirmity, so it's not believable. The Bible teaches that we have a God in Jesus. We have a high priest that's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows where we live. He knows what we've went through. He was born into a body of flesh. He knows what it's like to be hot. He knows what it's like to be cold. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to have his best friends walk off on him. He knows exactly where you've been. He's come to your area code. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he's came down and he tabernacled among us. Our God lived with us. He's that kind of priest. And there's a priest that is a type of that, that oversaw the city of Jerusalem. Way back in the Old Testament, goes all the way back to that. And then Jesus himself had a love for the city of peace. As a matter of fact, Jesus comes down, he looks at Jerusalem. He has a prophetic vision, many people believe. They say he sees the destruction that's going to go to the temple. Jesus said things like this about Jerusalem. He said, not one stone on that temple. It's going to be left on top of the other. So they'd rejected God, they rejected him, and a judgment was coming to Jerusalem at the time. But he hated it. He didn't want to see Jerusalem judged. Jerusalem had brought that upon himself. And Jesus looks at the city of peace, the city of Jerusalem, with tears in his heart, tears in his eyes. And he says these words. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have longed to gather you to myself like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not have it." Man, Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. Now, I think the heart of God, that's a city, it's unlike any other city on the earth. Now, I'm telling you, if you go there as a Christian, you almost feel like you're in your neighborhood, your home. Jerusalem feels as much like home to me as Providence, Kentucky does. And, you know, we're going to live, the Bible says that we're going to live in a new Jerusalem someday. That God's going to create a new heavens, a new earth, and there's going to be a new Jerusalem. It's what he's calling the place that we're going to live. That's why Jerusalem matters. That's why we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's why we pray for the city of peace. And we're believing God for revival. We're believing God for protection. We're believing God for eyes to be open, things to be heard. And here's the next thing is the Bible teaches this, the Jewish nation, that you are supposed to become so blessed as a Christian. Teaches this as Christians. That we're supposed to become so blessed as a Christian people. The blessing of God's going to come on us in such a way. Paul said that the blessing would be on your life so strong that the Jewish nation would see it and become jealous of the blessing that's on your life. It would be so strong that they would see that, they would become jealous of the blessing, and they would convert to Christ. How many of y'all want a blessing that's on you so strong that the whole world sees it, the Jewish nation sees it, that blessing's there, and they convert to Christ? These are all things that are connected to the city of peace. So when you turn on your news and you see those things, know there's a connection between you and that city. There's a new Jerusalem. So you know, Jesus is going to return right outside of that city, right outside of the city walls. There's a mount called the Mount of Olives. And the Bible teaches that's right where Jesus is going to return, on the Mount of Olives. He'll come and he'll walk down when Christ returns. He's going to land on the Mount of Olives. He's going to walk down through down the hill by the Kidron Valley. He'll walk through the Garden of Gethsemane. He'll walk right up the hill and he'll go through the Eastern Gate, which hasn't been opened in years and years and years. He'll enter into Jerusalem and Messiah will return to the city of peace. Come on, let's give God a hand clap. Our Messiah is returning to the city of peace. You know, there's a prophecy in the Psalms, and it talks about, I believe it's in the Psalms. I'm shooting from the hip right now. I'm led to go another way. So don't quote me on this. Look it up, all right? But it talks about, y'all remember the song, "Swing Wide, You Heavenly Gates"? Does anybody remember that? "Make Way for the Risen Lord"? If you were in a charismatic church 20 years ago, you sing it till you wanted to vomit. I promise you. It's like the only song we knew from like 1998 to like 2005, right? There's this song. If you were in the church back then, you remembered. I got born again then. And they'd sing that song in church all the time. And I'm like, I like this song, but we need a new song. And I got born again out in West Texas, too. So I got born again in Amarillo. And then I would go to these little churches with Jesse's dad out to like Borger, Texas, Dumas, Texas, talking about nowhere Texas towns. And it was so backwards back then. Do what? Psalm 24. Thank you, Jesse. It was so backwards back then. They're great people. I love the Texans. Texans and Kentucky people are a lot alike. We're kind of the same people, a little different accent, same kind of people. But out there in those little bitty towns in Texas, they were still dancing this like Russian Jewish dance in their worship services and stuff. And they get in there and they look at me like they wanted me to dance with you. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. That ain't happening, man. And they had something. They were still doing stuff from the 80s out there because we didn't have internet or phones. And, you know, you just kind of were with your people. The music was bad. But here's the deal. Thank God that how many are glad that the music has gotten better in the last few years in the church? I'm thankful for better music. But the song was Psalm 24, Swing Wide You Heavenly Gates. And there are prophecies that Messiah would come. Jesus would return to Jerusalem. Jesus loves Jerusalem so much, he said, I'm going to come back, land on the Mount of Olives, and I'll be walking up there into where the temple was. And I'm going through one of the city gates, and there was a king, an ancient king, somebody that took over. His name was Suleiman, took over the area. I think he was Muslim, and he heard of that prophecy. And so what he did is he sealed up the gates leading into the city of peace. So if Messiah came, he wouldn't be able to enter back into the city. They also, legend says that they also buried a dead body in the middle of that gate, because no Jewish rabbi can set their feet on a grave. It would make them ceremonially unclean. What they didn't think about when they did that, so we got a God that specializes in rolling away stone and moving things that are in the way. And we got a God that specializes in the resurrection of the dead. How many know they can bury every dead body they want in that gate? But we got a Messiah that's coming back for Jerusalem. He's going to open up that gate. He's going to walk through that valley. And he's going to establish a new heaven, a new earth, and a new government for you to live in the future. Come on, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come on, stand up on your feet. Give him a hand clap tonight. He's coming back. How many are thankful that he is coming back? Lord, we thank you that you're not going to leave us alone. You are coming back. Come on, lift a hand to heaven. Let's worship him. He is coming back. And he'll come back for his that are scattered around the earth. As a matter of fact, he'll gather the elect from the four corners of the earth. Scripture teaches that. And he's going to come for us. He's going to collect us together. I'll tell you, we're going to live with him forever. It's going to be incredible. Lord, we pray now that you would come quickly. Just begin to pray that. There's an ancient word the church used to say. It's Maranatha. Maranatha means come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come quickly. When you pray Maranatha, you're praying that Christ would return. You're also praying, I believe, that the work of evangelism would be sped up and hastened around the earth. That the gospel would go forth stronger around the earth in more languages than ever before. Father, we gather together. We lift up holy hands. Man, if you pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit for 1 second. We gather together. We lift up holy hands. Lord, we thank you that you're coming back. We thank you that your promise is good. Lord, I thank you now that you've poured out your Spirit on your people. The Scripture says that there's a seal on you. The Spirit of God's a seal on you. It's a proof that he's coming back for you. Right there, just open up. Just release that seal. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit's in us and on us, and you're coming back for us. And right now, I declare that we're a witness in every nation, every corner of this nation, every city, every workplace, every family, that we're a witness that there's a king that is coming back. Lord, I thank you that you use us to carry that message around the world in the name of Jesus. Now we pray for our church. We pray that this church would become more powerful in Jesus' name. We pray that you would increase our influence. We pray that you would lift up our voice as a people. We pray that we wouldn't be just for ourselves, but we would be for the Great Commission. We would be for the Great Commandment. We would be for what you've called us to do. Lord, I pray you put that kind of spirit, put that kind of oil on this church. Put a supernatural help and a favor on us to fulfill the work. Lord, we thank you and we look forward. We say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come on, let's give him one more hand clap tonight. We got a good God. Now, come on, let's do one more thing. Let's pray for the city of peace, and I want you to pray. How many of y'all will pray for the city of peace and pray that violence would stop around there right now? What happened whenever we said we would move our embassy is Hamas, which is a terrorist organization, started pushing people to storm the border of Israel. And so they're telling them to storm the border of Israel. They were throwing Molotov cocktails. They're doing all kinds of things. They're acts of war. How many of you storm a foreign nation with a weapon or an object? It's not a protest. It's an act of war. Right? Somebody's throwing a glass full of gasoline at your house, lit on fire. How many think it's time to do something about that? If your family's in there, right? So the press and the supernatural enemies of what God has done there will call that a protest. That's not a protest. It's an act of war. When you're being violent, you're tearing stuff up. So I want us to pray that that kind of thing would stop and that there would be a halt in it, a space of grace to slow that down so people could cool off and peace could come into the situation. Let's pray for that. Father, right now we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for all the people with peacekeeping duties in the region. I pray for people on both sides of that fence. I pray for Israel and I pray for the Palestinians. I pray, Lord, you give them peace. I pray that you would cool people's heads down. I pray that rhetoric would come down. I pray for those who were riling up the crowds that they would be stopped in Jesus' name. I pray they'd be born again. I pray for appearances of Christ there like there was with Paul. I pray for the Damascus Road experience to flow into that. Lord, we pray for peace in the city of peace in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you'd pour out your spirit and send a mighty revival to the region. Lord, we thank you for it and we pray for our brothers and our sisters now around the world. Bless, lead, guide, and direct. Bless the church here. Bless the church there. I pray in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. Hey, I want to let you know this Sunday morning, you ought to bring somebody with you. I'm gonna preach a message. I really believe that it's a topic and something that's life-changing and life-altering. If they can get the principle that I'll be preaching for the next couple of weeks here, it will change your life if you'll believe it and walk in it. It's something I teach all the time, but this is something I believe people got to hear. It's going to set them free. Come on, bring somebody with you. Amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five. We love you. Stay out of trouble, all right?